God loves you. He loves you dearly and passionately. He loves you enough to give His Son. The tomb is still empty. The empty tomb means that everything Jesus said and did was true and reliable. It proves that He died for our sins and that God promises to forgive sins if we respond to the gospel as He wants us to do. He loves us enough to save us from our sin. Not to save us in our sin, but to save us from our sin. Part of our response to God and the gospel is that we don't want to live in a selfish, sinful, ungodly way anymore. We want to be pleasing to our Heavenly Father. And so with those thoughts, we kick off our study this morning. People have always been prone to be impressed or be impressed by showy things. It is just a human response to things. In Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to spend some time in verses that we don't look at as often. We generally look at what we call the Lord's model prayer. And I'm going to refer to that in our time together in this study this morning. He says in verse 9, "Pray then in this way, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." I'm going to refer to this later in the lesson with a couple of thoughts that maybe you haven't thought about. But what I want to talk about are verses 5 through 8. Things that we don't usually look at as closely as we do the Lord's Prayer, because I have preached on the Lord's Prayer in times past. But verse 5, "When you pray, you are not to be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners in order to be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask them." Entertainment dominates our society. It dominates our society. Even people who may not think that they're dominated oftentimes are. And I'm not talking about bad entertainment. I'm not talking about the kind of things that we would know Christians should stay away from. The visual stimulation of entertainment affects this society to a great degree. We are no longer people who like to read or to listen to God's Word. People now want to be entertained. They want to be visually stimulated with shows of all sorts. Entertainment dominates our society, and there are some aspects of that fact that we see in what Jesus says about the warnings on prayer. Jesus' words today would warn us away from the powerful, the prayerful entertainment views that dominate around. They appear holy. They appear reverent, they appear high, but we need to be careful. We are easily impressed with trinkets of little value. Again, what Jesus says is, when you pray, you are not to be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners in order to be seen by men. There are two main things that Jesus stresses in these verses as to warnings about prayer. He says, first of all, those who pray to be seen. Those who pray to be seen. If you look in the bulletin, there's a little outline of these two points shared with you. Hypocrites love to pray. They love to be asked to pray and to be doing it in a visual way so that people notice them. They appear in a certain way, and they draw attention to themselves. They, in other words, show off. What he is warning about here is praying so as to show off or to be seen of men. In Jesus' day, that was something that took place a great deal. There were leaders of the Jews, there were Pharisees and scribes and various individuals who loved to be seen of men. They wore the tassels extra long on their garments in order to be seen as religious men. They wore their phylacteries to be seen. They wanted to be seen of men as being holy men or reverent men or religious men, and they wanted to be respected and appreciated for that. What phylacteries were was the wearing of a small verse of scripture that lay in a little tiny box that lay on the forehead. And Jesus warned against the phylacteries and the various things that were done, the accoutrements on the outside that made people think that they were very religious and very reverent and very holy men. These are individuals who want to be seen. They want to show off in their prayers. They want to be seen of men. They don't necessarily worry about whether God sees them. They are mostly concerned with whether man sees them. In fact, God may not even be on their mind. Now, it's possible he was on their mind, but what Jesus warns about is the danger of drawing attention to yourself, praying in a way that one might want to show off and be seen. Their reward, notice what he says the reward is going to be. He says, when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. What does he mean by that? He means that all of the notice and the attention and the adulation and the amens to whatever they might say, that is the totality of their reward, their answer to their prayer. That is all they're going to get. It's another way of saying that God is not listening, hasn't heard their prayer. When praying is done to be seen of men, it's something that has no reward whatsoever other than the temporary, short-term praise that men give to a person. In other words, they pray to be seen of men, and they want to be seen of men, and they get that attention, and that's the end of it. It's kind of like a blast of steam that just disappears into the air. The attention that they get, the reverence that is shown them, the respect and the honor reckoned to them, that is the reward. And it's very short-lived. It does not last very long. And it does not include God. So God is kind of left out of the equation. He is not included in that prayer. The person is doing it to be seen of men. And then he goes on in verse 6. He says, When you pray, enter into your closet. In other words, into your private, personal place to pray. Do you have a place that you pray in? A designated, private, closed-off spot that no one else is there with you, and you commune with God in prayer? Do you have a regular place to do it? It might be a chair in a certain part of the house, maybe a chair in a certain room. Perhaps there's a place where you kneel on the floor, and I hope from time to time you do get on your knees to pray. You know, that's a good thing to do. Prayer can be done in the sitting position, it can be done in the standing position, but it also can be done kneeling on both knees and bowing the head and praying. And doing it quietly and privately where no one else is around, no one else sees it, no one else hears it, that's when prayer is really sincere, is it not? You can't pretend there, because you're not going to receive praise and adoration and all kinds of congratulations for your prayer. It's just you and God. It's just you praying to God in that private moment when you pray. So Jesus says, when you pray, enter in your closet, and when you have shut the door. Now, you know, he's using that in a figurative sense, but we understand what he means. Go into that private place, close the door, no one else is around, no one else sees or hears you, and pray. Pray. Sincerely and in faith, pray. You know why? Because God hears that kind of prayer. He prays. He hears your prayer and he rewards that kind of prayer. That's the kind of reward we want. We don't want to receive the adulation and the praise and the notice of people. What we want is God to hear our prayer. Do we not? We want God to hear our Heavenly Father to hear our prayer. And Jesus tells us this is the way you do it. Go in quietly, privately, in your own space, close the door, and pray. And pray to the Father in secret, and he will reward. So when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret shall reward thee openly. Beautiful words that Jesus gives us. Pray. Not to impress God, because you can't impress God. You can't impress God. But you can please God. It's impossible, without faith it's impossible to please Him. When you go to God in these circumstances in prayer, you are showing your real faith. You can't pretend there. I mean, you can try to pretend, but what's the point? Why go into your closet and then just go through the motions? Pray for real in the private place before God. So why do people sometimes pray? Some people pray to be seen by others. And then he says in verse 7, when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. The heathen, they impress with wordy words. With wordy words. The repetition of the same words. You know, we have our Hail Marys in the church. I mean, you all know Hail Marys, right? In the Catholic Church, there are Hail Marys offered up in prayer where they are said multiple times, and they are a part of the life, the devotion life of that religion. And we understand that that's not what Jesus endorses. But we in the church can have our Hail Marys also. Repetitive prayers, the same phrases all the time. He says, don't be like the heathen. Because they thought they could break through to God, they could knock on the door and break through to God, and through much prayer, worded prayer, repetitious prayer, and they can just finally bang down the door. Now Jesus teaches us to be repetitive in our prayers. We should be constantly praying to God, and we should not give up in our prayers. Luke chapter 11 and Luke chapter 18. So he's not telling us to just pray once. He wants us to be persistent in our prayers. But what he's warning against here is the heathen practice of thinking there's a formula, there's somehow some kind of special formula that will break through and reach God in these circumstances. These are prayers that might be memorized. They might be ritual, they might be formal, they might be rote, they might be predictable. They might be automatic, just spoken automatically from the brain without even thinking. It's like pushing a button on a tape recorder where the same thing plays. It might be a formula in the mind of the person. It might be like a laboratory where you just mix the things together and you get the same result each time. It's like a tape recording. It's done fast. It's this idea of touching all the basics. In other words, I've got to mention this, 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 and this, and I do it so fast I can barely understand myself. It's said so often that they are thoughtless. It may sound reverent, but it may be seen as reverent, but it's empty and vain. Look again at what Jesus says in verse 7. When you pray, use not vain, that is empty repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask them." So the heathen try to impress God, try to break through with repeated wordy words. They think that they can break through by impressive, long, repetitious, much speaking, but they don't. They think they are informing God of things that God doesn't know. But you can't do that. God already knows these things. So it's important. Now let me refer back, and I said I would refer back to the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer, the Lord's Model Prayer. How many words are in that prayer? Well, I'll tell you. In the King James Version, it's 66 words. 66 words. How many of those words are one-syllable words? 72% of the Lord's Prayer are one-syllable words. That's what Jesus taught. Look at, in 66 words, look what Jesus covered in that beautiful model prayer. He covered a whole wide range of human existence and our relationship to God and so many things in 66 words. And of those 66 words, 72%, almost three-quarters of them, are one-syllable words. You ever listen to someone pray and they use long, involved theological words? Jesus says to pray in His way. Pray simply, plainly, basically. I think it's beautiful. I think His prayer is beautiful. People can be deceived and misled and impressed with one who offers what seem to be great prayers that are empty and vain and repetitious and meaningless and not heard by God. It's easy to fall into this trap. Every one of us can fall into this trap where we just utter automatic words that are just presented to God without any thought whatsoever. It takes energy, it takes concentration to slowly pray from the heart by faith. So we need to pray. Why are these kinds of prayers to be seen or heard by some? Why are these done, I should say? I don't know. I can't read the hearts, the motives, the inners of a person. But is it possible that someone can pray publicly and not pray privately? I think that's possible. Jesus tells us to pray and pray and pray and do most of our praying in private. Get on our knees, sit in our chair, close the door, and pray by faith to our Father in secret. The words Jesus gives to warn us is to be careful not to pray to be seen or to be heard, to impress others with our appearance or with our words. Pray, pray, pray. Now the Bible says we don't pray to get salvation. You've got to believe in Jesus. Except you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins. He says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Luke chapter 13, verse 3. The eunuch in Acts chapter 8 confessed the name of Jesus as the Son of God. And he was then baptized by Philip. And Peter said to the asking audience in Acts chapter 2, "What shall we do?" When they were convicted of the fact that they had crucified the Son of God, when they realized they had done wrong, they had sinned, he said, "Repent ye therefore in the name of Jesus," or "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So, pray. Be aware of Jesus' warnings, and enjoy fellowship with God. Come now while we stand and sing.